Welcome to Fear the Boot. My name is Dan.
This is Julia.
This is John.
And this is Wayne.
So we were just talking about True Dungeon at Gen Con and the fact that it reinforces on a much more visceral level, to use a phrase John just used, why pugging, or for anyone not familiar with the acronym, a pickup group, is such a bad idea.
Pugging sucks.
If you were ever at Gen Con, do True Dungeon. It's wonderful.
No, it's awesome fun.
It's awesome
I shuddered
fun.
Not because it sucks, but because
it's great when you do it like I did.
Get
where only
the whole group.
Exactly.
Precisely.
When
just
I went
like
through, it was
wild.
All us.
And if you, if you can buy every ticket for a run such that you know it will be people you know who can cooperate, who know each other's strengths and weaknesses.
Who cast their spells on their spell list.
Who will defer to someone else's expertise.
That was my experience. Run. It was great.
If you cannot get every ticket there, don't bother, because the only thing that keeps you from rage quitting is the fact that you spent a fair amount of money, gave up a fair amount of time, and really probably couldn't find your way out of there anyway.
Also, the other people are in the rooms behind you, and you literally cannot leave except by going forward and completing it.
Yes.
Where you will inevitably die to the last boss.
I have never been so close to rage quitting anything outside of a video game as True Dungeon with strangers who are freaking idiots.
I guess I've never experienced it, so.
It's really cool. Come Gen Con, I don't know if I'm going this year, but this coming year, next year, whenever I go next, I will see if I can get us a full rental where we have every ticket to True Dungeon Run.
I think the whole group is 8 people.
It was 8, they increased it. I think it's 10.
I think it was 6 and they increased it to 8. They moved it to 10.
I don't know.
Do we know when Gen Con is this year?
I'm sure it's
getting. No, I'm sure I can look it up.
But in July, probably.
But the point being, though, that if I can get a full group run, then I'd love to put one together with you folks and show, for example, you, Julia.
Yeah, I would be really, excited to do it.
Yeah, we're sitting out there. We need to get him on an episode before we're done tonight. But anyway, that's beside the point. All right, so Yoin, you had a specific question for this episode that's not directed at me.
I have a lot of frustrations to get off my chest this episode.
Oh.
But this was the germ of the conversation. I posted that I can't figure out how to play a rogue, and Julie posted that she knows. Here's what's happening. I have just picked up another Pathfinder game. I'm playing it at this time. I am playing a thief. A backstabby, flanky, crappy AC, theoretically high damage, but actually no more damage than any of the melee fighters and probably less.
You position
rogue.
Yourself for a backstab and you end up fighting some
right.
sort of
no,
wooden
no, no.
thing
That's
that
thing.
Doesn't have backstab.
No, not even that. Not even that. A plain old humanoid crit vulnerable enemy who has enough brains to just turn around and kill the melee fighter in leather and ignore the paladin.
All right.
Now, how do you stop this? Is there some sort of agreement in the GM guild that monsters are supposed to attack the plate mail people and just not aggro?
If there is, I've never seen it because I've seen only what you've seen with Pathfinder.
Let me start by saying that I'm admitting some degree of ignorance because in D&D, the one class I never play is the rogue.
Well, there you
have I have preferred classes, but if you look at my experience, I do not believe in my entire D&D experience I have ever played a single rogue. I have at least played every other class once.
Mine is Ranger.
Every time I've watched somebody play Rogue successfully, it really comes down to one thing. They just min-max the hell out of decks and use that for their AC. Because, I mean, look, you get an 18, that's what, a +4?
Yeah.
So, I mean, that right
there.
And
you have 2 leather, you're at 16 AC. That's awesome until you're about level 3, then you're getting lit the hell up.
Well, usually, you're right. You definitely put everything into your decks, and then you take a feat that allows you to use your decks to hit.
Yeah, weapon finesse, so which of course I've done.
First, that's your first feat. You knock that out.
I took improved initiative and weapon finesse at the same time. Because
I take
power.
It on my second. I take improved initiative on your second.
You should roll a human.
I did.
Then you can get them both at the beginning.
Yeah, but then what I did is I started creating, and this was my pirate rogue that I made that was really awesome. This was before they actually had duelists and stuff. Yeah. That you could do.
Was your
like
name, but.
Core classes named Ninja, like someone's brother plays.
I play a ninja too.
I'm sure you do.
Dan, you have someone heard the story of this pirate, haven't you?
I probably this is one of the crucifix.
Julie said it.
What? Yeah.
All right.
No, that's a different pirate.
How many pirates have you played?
No, that was in the pirate game. This was actually like a Pathfinder
game. This was just a pirate that was not in a pirate game.
Okay.
Well, that's totally different.
Yeah, you should only be playing a ninja if we're talking about like Final Fantasy Tactics. So continue with the rogue.
So if you take a feat that allows you to hit a bajillion times, and then you take parry, and then you can move away from him.
Wait, what?
Yeah.
A feat that allows you to hit a bajillion times.
Yeah.
What is this?
Basic.
Because as far as I know, that feat is called having a ton of levels.
No, hang on.
Because guess what? You have a middle BAB progression because screw you, Rogue. We're going to make you underpowered. And also, what the hell with Rogue? I'm calling it Thief. I'm sticking with that.
It is a thief. And a I can't remember the name of the stupid feat to save my life, because I literally just took
because
it.
Because it doesn't exist.
It does exist. Do you have a Pathfinder book in here? Probably not.
No, I have some 3.0 books.
I have it on my Dropbox on my phone.
Do you have your phone in here?
You're not going to forget. It's right here. Good luck.
But basically,
so you take some splat book power.
Well, you take a feat
Dungeon Magazine episode. No, it's in the core book,
and it allows you to take. You don't take the same penalties, and then you could take multiple attacks with less penalties, and then you can hit a couple of times, and then you take.
Are you just talking about using multi weapon fighting?
Yeah, a lot of it, and that's the best way to.
Well, you could have just said that.
Well,
multi weapon fighting and this feat that lets you take a boatload of attacks are two different things.
No, it's not. There's two.
It does take two or three feats because you have to get.
You just want to suck, because you can pick up two weapons and get like -8, -6.
It takes you a couple feats.
It takes 2 feats, I think, to get a decent multi-weapon fighting thing going.
That's my biggest complaint about the system, is when I want to play a character, I have to sit down and figure out the trees I'm going to take to get to the feats I want.
But they're not even organized in trees. So it's just a list.
Julie, you've only answered half his question, which is, okay, he's now doing a lot of damage. But that doesn't stop him from getting flushed as soon as an enemy's agitated by him.
There is, like I said, you can do a parry move where once they try to attack you, you can parry them, and then you get to move a space, and then they won't hit you as much.
Okay, so you can move 1 5-foot step back, and then they do it, and then you hit.
No, because they don't hit you because you parried them. So you avoid that first attack, and you get to move.
What game are you playing? There's a parry. This parry function doesn't improve your AC. It just annuls an attack.
It's basically like blocking attack and jumping backwards. I didn't have that until like 6th level. Though,
Okay, and then because they've already moved, they can't move again
to get you.
But they'll just do it next turn.
Well you'll have time to move. And just keep moving, I guess.
But you have to give up an attack in order to parry.
Oh, well, that's helpful.
But if you have multiple attacks.
If you have this feat that gives you like 12 attacks, it's easy.
Well, I mean, eventually once I...
There's a checkbox in the upper right-hand corner of every character sheet that says powerful. Have you been forgetting to check that?
I apparently have.
I know Wayne has.
If you go with a non-weapon fighting rogue, you need stuff. Because, like, my ninja is pretty BA.
Rogues can do non-weapon fighting stuff. They get 8+ int.
Well, I mean, I'm saying you need stuff, like equipment. Oh, really, really awesome equipment. Because I have a ninja that just annihilates things.
Tools.
Because she has, like, a returning star. And it's, like, the craziest thing I've ever had.
Okay, so you give yourself equipment from The Legend of Zelda, and then you're effective.
Yes.
What if that's not an option because you're playing Pathfinder?
Then don't play a rogue.
That's what I'm arriving at, which is why Wayne is on this episode. Wayne, as the curtain was rising 2 days ago on our Wednesday night Pathfinder game, I sat there in front of my keyboard and said, I wish I would have rolled this character a bard.
A bard would have been more effective, you think?
Totally more effective.
Bards, at least you're helpful.
Bards beat the tar out of rogues in Pathfinder.
I just think that you have to remember that when you play a rogue, you are not paladin or a barbarian. You're just all about melee. Yes. You do other things.
You also have elaborate long roleplay sequences where your GM demands a succession of stealth checks until you fail, at which point you are exposed out in the front with your leather armor.
That is some BS.
It's also how every roleplay rogue section has ever gone.
I've never had that. Like, I play in my brother's game as a ninja, and that is my job. I go in and I stealth my way through and pick a path, and I tell them where the people are.
And it works perfectly that easily every time.
As a GM, I do not require multiple stealth rolls. Unless you change
Trapcast George, sure as hell does.
Unless you radically change your actions. Like, if you say, like, I'm going to sneak down the hallway, it'll be like 1 stealth roll. If you say, like, I'm going to sneak down the hallway, and I say, you hear snoring in this room. Well, I'm going to try and open the door and grab the key off of the sleeping king. Okay, now I might want another stealth check. But
who goes to bed wearing a key ring?
I don't know. This king does.
Okay.
King
what
key.
An idiot. He must be inbred.
I think when it comes to Pathfinder, I'm just going to stick with
I suppose so.
I just stick with Bard over Rogue for Pathfinder.
You know what? I'm coming around to that.
3-5, I'd be up for the argument, because if you compare actually 3-5 to Pathfinder, Bards are much better in Pathfinder.
Right.
They are so much more effective.
That is the theory of stealth nerfing the rogues. Nothing was actually taken away from the rogues in the Pathfinder transition, but the skills were all streamlined such that their 8 plus int was no longer as relatively powerful, and the other quote-unquote bonuses they got didn't keep up with everyone else.
If you want to keep your rogue going in a really good direction, Shadow Dancer is like the greatest thing ever, because you can literally...
Is this in like some...
No, it's a prestige class.
It also has prestige class. Yeah. That one I already
have. It's awesome. You be a Shadow Dancer, I'll be the bard, play the music while you dance.
I'm all in for that.
No, the reason why it's awesome is one of the things...
I just want to die and reroll a wizard.
What you need to do with your character is start really like getting utilizing sneak attack.
He's going to play some Pat Benatar.
Yes.
If you can utilize sneak attack, it's like the greatest thing ever.
Well, duh.
And I know, but listen.
If you can utilize sneak attack, your damage goes up from 1d6 plus nothing.
He's so mad.
What? Oh, wait. What? Okay. Yes, okay. I realize I have to use my bonuses when I'm playing a thief.
But listen, you're the shadow.
If you utilize a beholder's Ray of Disintegration, well, you'll be set.
I'm trying to finish telling you why.
No,
Shadow Dancer allows you to be like, you can't see me. And then all of a sudden, you can just sneak attack. The guy turned his back, and you're like, oh, you can't see me now. Stab. It's like it's like the greatest prestige class.
When can you get it?
Sixth level around, depending on what you take.
This character will never get that on there. This character is going to take a long walk off a short pier somehow.
John, I think we've had this conversation before. What do you think the most powerful class at first level is in Pathfinder?
Ooh.
Because I know what I think it is.
Oh my.
First level, whoever wins initiative.
First level. Right. Well,
no, I think there's some clear winners.
I think you have to get up a couple levels where it almost matters, but
I'm going to say sorcerer or barbarian, depending on how the...
I'm going cleric. The cleric is ridiculously
powerful. How can a cleric one round you like a color spray can?
Because cleric starting at level one, you're going to start off with a lot of armor already.
Yeah.
Plus, you have attacks and you have magic.
So they can't do any damage.
You can use your... What level one cleric spells provide a massive leg up? Like, none do.
No, but
you
have regular.
If you spend a turn using Cure Light Wounds, you've already lost, because the barbarian is going to action face off, or the sorcerer is going to color spray you again, and you're going to fail that time.
You're very...
Let's slow down, Wayne.
Yeah, I was saying he's very argumented tonight.
I still say it just comes down to whoever wins initiative first.
I agree with that, though.
No.
Because it always depends.
Yeah, first of all, if you got so few hit points, it's pretty much he who hits wins.
Yeah.
See, what I would love to do is actually just create just a ton of first level characters and just sit down with someone and go
I don't think, one.
And
you don't need to bother with this. I am sure there are people ready at the forums who have already done this at first level, fifth level, 10th level, 20th level. Yeah, who can tell you precisely how that went and probably give you spreadsheets.
And their name is Johan.
So
why don't you multi-class if you don't like your rogue?
You know, I've thought about it.
Monk.
I thought about just starting to take
multi-class
sorcerer.
Monk.
I'm not taking monk.
Oh my gosh.
Monk sucks.
Not if
monk
you have rogue
needs
classes.
A personal buffer. Monk is awesome. I've made monk work one time. I was a sorc. She was a monk. All I did was walk around casting mage armor in a large person and eventually haste. It worked beautifully. And sleep and color spray as effective. Monks are good at receiving buffs. That's it.
Well, if you take them with rogue classes, though, you can become a crit monster, too.
Mm. Go crazy and add an alchemist.
Alchemist sucks, too!
Yeah, I tried playing alchemist, and
alchemist is one of those classes where, in most situations, they suck. But if you get in the right situation, that was in a Pathfinder Society game where we were fighting...
Like it's the first combat round of the day and you still have your bombs? That's the right situation.
No, we were in a Pathfinder Society game where we were fighting against something that basically turned invisible. And we were running into all these issues of nobody could hit the damn thing. But with the alchemist, because he's throwing bombs, he didn't have to hit him. He just had to hit the squares around him. And we started just killing the thing with splash damage. So very situational, but in the right situation.
Yeah, well, fortunately,
you still wish you had a wizard.
That's a highly ubiquitous situation.
And then when your wizard had glitter dust and solved that encounter, like every other such encounter has been solved in the history of D&D.
That was the unfortunate thing, was going into the situation, because it was a Pathfinder Society, it was a bunch of people sitting down with their characters. We hadn't put together a party for this.
No class balance?
We had no magic.
Ooh. Oh.
Our one magic was the alchemist.
Ooh.
And this was something, we had a lot of melee fighters against something that we couldn't hit or see.
You know, we ran into that in my Pathfinder game that my brother runs, too. Our only magic user is a bard, and he's more kind of like a combat bard, and our alchemist. But our alchemist is
mutagens. Is he a bard that doesn't do buffs, like your bard? That's my favorite character.
He uses mutagens.
I want to play a cleric that doesn't heal people.
And the mutagens are really great, because he can, like, make himself huge and... like yeah. Hulk smash things.
Oh, yeah. And, apparently there are prestige right. slash parallel so here, alchemy I classes that are heavy in the mutagens.
Here's what we need to do with this one. There's a lot of people listening to this podcast that you know love their D20 stuff. Somebody help John min-max a rogue from level 1 through, you know, about level, like, 6 or so.
I'm already level 2.
Okay, so start at level...
I've taken weapon finesse, weapon focus rapier, and my second level...
Why did you take weapon focus?
Because I need to hit things, and I'm on the middle track BAB progression, which sucks.
Oh.
And, as are all rogues... And what was it? Improved initiative, weapon focus, rapier, and weapon finesse. My stats suck. I buffed up int, not realizing that in Pathfinder you don't need to buff up int because all the skills are condensed. It's probably too late for this guy.
It's either that or you talk to a GM.
And a little sexy doing this to you?
Oh, yeah. No, I did it to myself, but he's the GM.
Who?
Little Trapcast sexy. George.
Yeah,
George. Oh. I didn't know him as Little Sexy. Yeah, so I'm like, who?
George from the podcast, Trapcast, and... Are they even still around? Are they,
no, they're long gone.
They're long pod fade. Yeah, but his nickname's...
And he was my friend long before he got an RPG pass. Yeah. In fact, it had nothing to do with me at all.
I say, man, can't you just, like... Little Sexy just seems like the kind of guy that... I mean, John, you've got to be able to just baffle him with BS. There's got to be something where you can just, like, confuse the crap out of him.
Yeah, I could do that.
Yeah, until he just agrees with you.
But the problem is, like, I sort of did that. We had a really adversarial in-character RP last Wednesday.
Yeah.
And I could tell it, like, shocked him into silence. I felt bad about it. We're working for this thief guild, and, like, I kind of sort of got screwed a little bit on a deal I had already performed, and I reacted in character with extreme hostility, and he just stopped talking for, like, 30 seconds. And I thought, it's okay, George, don't be mad, I still like you. But I was role-playing.
So why do you hate my brother?
I hate your brother because I go, I'm going to play a thief... He won't be like a combat killer ninja. He'll be like a smuggler and a fixer and a forger and all that stuff. Your brother just goes, I would have played a ninja.
To be fair, I know that he had been talking about playing a ninja in a Pathfinder game for a long time.
I would simply not allow this.
But yeah.
If we sat down to a Pathfinder game, so it's like, I want to play a ninja. It'd be like, great, I want to win the lottery. We all have ridiculous desires. Right, now, so right, right. Actually playing.
And it's the intersection of these two personalities. Like you said, it's George's personality and then Jason. Jason's like, you know how I'm sort of making fun of you for talking about Splat, even though I know you know what you're talking about?
Yeah.
Jason actually does.
Yeah, he does.
He will whip out his copy of Dragon Magazine number 327 and turn to index 12, page 72.
I don't think he's that bad.
Oh.
Not towards me, because I think he knows I'd punch
him. When I start whining about how my character sucks, he jumps in with helpful advice, and I'm going to make fun of him for this, even though he's being helpful, because he'll be like, well, there's a race-specific feat for that in the adventure path that the Paizo came out with a couple years ago. It's in issue 4. I don't know how you feel about that. I'm like, Jason.
This is why I'm always pretty much like, yeah, you get the core rule book, maybe a setting book, maybe, what is it in Pathfinder, the one that has the...
Ultimate Combat, Ultimate Magic, or the other ones.
In Pathfinder, I would accept core rule book, Ultimate Combat, and Ultimate Magic, or
you
whatever.
You surely would accept Advanced Player's Guide as well.
Yes.
That's my canon is...
I think Advanced Player's Guide.
Advanced Core Rulebook, Advanced Player's Guide, Ultimate Combat, Ultimate Magic.
Yep. Possibly...
And Bloodmoon Goblins.
Possibly a setting book, depending on... Yeah, you whip out some issue Dragon Magazine or some Splat book, and it's like, yeah, no. And you try to play a ninja, and it's going to be like, no.
Not only is he a ninja,
he's a
Tengu ninja. Tengu is a bird man.
Oh, okay.
If this was a Final Fantasy game, I would allow
it. Why you sided
for relief. Some reason, I'm playing a Tien, which is like a race of a
and
ninja.
A guy
and
I literally
thought my brother created my character and was playing it in yours for just a second. Oh,
when
and
you
I had about crap
ninja,
myself.
I'm thinking of the old Power Rangers villain.
Tengu.
Was there a Tengu and Power Rangers?
Yeah,
they were
big
birds that came down that were ninjas.
And they were terrible.
Because it was during...
Jason's playing a Power Rangers character.
It was during the ninja period.
Zed.
No, but I literally thought he stole my character and just put it in your guys' spatula.
That would be a very ninja thing to do.
Because I play the ninja in his game.
All you play are pirate ninja whores.
Well, it was just because I needed a file. I needed to like fill a role. We already had like two heavy hitters.
So speaking of
filling my role in the kitchen.
Well, I don't think we said that.
No, John suggested a topic here. John gets told.
Oh, I got told.
Glossing over some races and classes. I'm not going to finish reading this. All right, I'll let you clean this up for the mics.
Here we go. I introduced a new friend of mine, Lauren, to tabletop RPGs. We had a real short Dungeon World game that was run in person in my new place of residence, Jefferson City. Didn't quite go anywhere, but I brought her into our Wednesday night Pathfinder games. And in the course of character generation, I went down the list. All the races, all the classes, blah, 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 blah. And I started off rather brusquely. At the start of each list, in fact, I said, oh, barbarian, girls don't play this. Bard, this is singers, blah, 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 blah. All the way down. Did the same thing with the races. This is a dwarves. Dwarves are Gimli. Girls don't play dwarves. On to the next one. And sure as shit, we get to the end of the conversation, and she's like, well, can I play a dwarf barbarian, or are you just not going to let me? And I'm like, I've been told. You can play a dwarf barbarian. Do you have a beard? No. Okay.
I wonder if she just wanted to do it just to teach you a lesson. She liked you.
Yeah, I believe that.
In truth, she wanted to be an elven archer.
Yes. She wanted to be Legolas. All girls want to be elves, archers, and or wizards. Right, Julie?
No, I like
playing. I mean, speaking on behalf of 51% of the human population.
That's right.
Okay.
You alone, since all women have this gestalt mind.
Yes.
Me personally, no, because I've played barbarians and paladins. I've never played a dwarf, just because for some reason our group doesn't really. We're all humans.
Well,
or
no
elves.
One plays a dwarf anyway. No one ever.
Plays yeah,
a dwarf.
I've only played with one dwarf. Like that's it. So it's not like we don't play them because.
The joke, of course, is on me. It was ridiculously presumptuous for me to have done this. It just was a reversal of expectations that had seeped into my brain over the many, many years of playing with lots of different people.
I play with girls who...
Everyone can be a dwarf barbarian.
I play with girls who play barbarian anything. They'll play anything. They're up for anything.
They're up for anything, she said.
I'm going to make that a ringtone.
Yeah, we just recorded it.
It finds me amusing that the guy that created a setting about playing a goblin would just assume people wouldn't want to play certain things.
I have seen so many more monstrous PCs than I have seen dwarves. Mary said, I want to play a kobold, and I did not bat an eyelash. If she would have said, I want to play a dwarf, I'd have been like, what?
I'm making white main Waymix.
No, Waymix Dan. This goes back to the original point of the podcast, which is Dan is a furry that won't admit it. All he wants to play is Knolls and Waymix. He actually wishes he was a dog.
Oh.
Waymix are lion people.
Whatever, a lion or a dog.
He probably plays it.
How do you I could just yeah. cuddle with yeah. myself. I wouldn't wow. need a stuffed animal anymore.
You wow. should run a Lion King RPG. You would love it.
I would play it.
You can
in
play
it.
The hyenas and the other lions.
We should put together, well.
I would play it.
Me as a nerd, I want to, well, Disney nerd, I want to play a Disney
You know, I will RPG. Only I will only run a Lion King one shot at Fear the Con if people agree to sing the songs.
Oh, I will sing the songs. The songs.
Put it on the schedule now. Would.
I know every single Disney song ever. So
I don't
let's
know every
do
Disney
this.
Song, but sure as hell know all from the Lion King.
Okay, if you guys are serious, I will put this on the schedule for the con.
All right,
and I okay. will pass out the sheet music.
Okay,
and
okay,
sing
I
the
have
song.
The sheet okay, music. Mister, I'm so desperate for people to trust me with the start of the plot and the setting. What's our setting and plot for our Lion King RPG?
I don't know. No, but there will be sheet music to Disney songs. You know, I will not. This will.
No, it has to all be Lion King.
I have. Okay, I have four books. King. I will lend them to you. I have four sheet music books: choral and piano.
Okay. This is going on the schedule. Well, and I'll tell you guys when this is going on the schedule. I'm sorry.
And you can't do anything cute and be like, "Well, it was a king who tells a lot of lies. He's the Lion King."
No, 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 no. No.
This is.
You will be playing lions.
Sweet.
Yes. Are we all playing lions, or are we a multiracial coalition of the willing like there was in The Lion King itself?
Yeah, can I be Pumbaa?
I don't know. I'll have to think about this. These are all specifics.
I would rather be a warthog in that setting.
God, the race for Pumbaa is on.
The one requirement is before you play
this could be a splat book where you can play a giraffe.
The one requirement is before you play Pumbaa, you have to order some of Stacy's chili.
That's true.
I will be the bird. What's it? Zazu.
And
I will
I
be
got down hard.
I told you, I know this. I know Disney way too well. That's why I got engaged there.
At Pride Rock?
No. I don't think they have a replica of Pride Rock anywhere.
San Francisco?
I didn't go to San Francisco until oh. Florida.
Nah, I get it.
Yeah.
Oh.
There's no engagement or marriage in Pride Rock. They just sort of
bang.
Yeah, but Zazu's like, you two are betrothed, and there's never a wedding. There's just one DTF face.
They just
have I told you my theory on this?
No.
Okay, that is the pivotal moment. Mufasa comes out of the clouds and is like, son, go back. And Matthew Broderick's like, eh. And then Rafiki comes back and is like, I'm the disaffected clerical faction. The socialists have knocked me out because they're atheistic. Come back and save us. And he's like, eh. And Nala comes down and like, you know the frame I'm talking about. She's leaning back. She's all DTF. And then he's like, all right, I'll go back. Yeah,
she goes full missionary.
Yeah, oh yeah.
Oh yeah. I mean, there's that I do not understand between the violence and her going full missionary, how that movie, apart from its Disney label, got a G rating. I mean, if you need any proof that whatever the hell that ratings agency is
the MPAA.
Yeah, right. If you need any more proof they are corrupt, there is no way if that Lion King movie came from anyone but Disney would have gotten a G rating.
Well, and they, well, what did
Kimba the
sex,
White Lion get? That was the first one.
There's even sex written in the dust when they
that
wrote
was
it.
That was apparently SFX.
Was Kimba actually rated, though? Because it came out of Japan.
No, I don't think so. No.
I didn't think it did.
I don't know. I still have like the original Little Mermaid movie with the penis tower.
We had the VHS tape that had the penis tower on it.
I even have like the movie-sized poster puzzle that I used to put together on a daily basis as a kid. And I literally pulled the penis out and put it together and glued it together so it'll never come apart. So there's always going to be...
Yeah, by the way, this is not an urban legend. That tower, for anyone who has not seen, we owned the VCR tape that had it. This is not an urban legend. There is a big old freaking... in the middle of the underwater city.
Yeah,
I mean, it's plain
as
day.
You get to, and the priest boner is real too.
They say that yes, is me, but it's not.
There is no way.
You can watch it there over and over. It is his.
He's sitting there looking at Ariel, and like any other
here comes
warm-blooded
mermaid,
like any other warm-blooded human being looking at Ariel. I mean, the guy has a natural reaction,
and
you
he's
know?
A priest, so you know he ain't getting it
precisely. But he's thinking about it. And his imagination is probably a lot more vivid than ours is, because he may not have gotten any in who knows how many decades. And
they don't have the internet.
They don't have the internet.
He just has like
they don't even have the printing press isn't ground, so they don't even have Pat's porn nuclear football. So all he's got is Ariel standing right there in front of him. And yeah, it happens.
And Odo trying to kill all of his fish.
Well, and Aladdin has the thing where he says, "Don't take off your clothes."
I've not really.
That's a thing.
It is. You have to turn up the movie loud enough, but it's when he's going down. Kitty goes, "Take off your clothes." It happens.
It does. That's outstanding.
What's funny is I heard about that from my cousins. I guess it was my aunt had the TV up really loud because the kids were doing something, and she heard it because the TV was up so loud. Like otherwise, she would never have caught it.
I heard about it at lunch in fifth grade. Like I thought everyone heard about it.
I don't remember where I heard about the Dong Tower, but all I remember is I came home and we had VCR tapes of a lot of the Disney movies. And even then, this is even before, you know, Snopes and all stuff. I still was fairly skeptical of these kinds of claims. So I pull out our copy of The Little Mermaid and start studying the artwork. So like, is this true? Yeah, and sure enough,
it is noticeable.
Tower. And it's like, yep, that's there. That's the thing.
I'm going to be at my mom's house for Christmas. I should put together the puzzle and take a picture of the for everybody.
Yeah, and they edited, by the way. If you get a newer copy of The Little Mermaid, they've gone back and, you don't have a big schlong in the middle of the city anymore.
It's VHS. They fixed it.
Your collection is not complete, so don't think it
is. Or any re-releases. It's only the original release of the tape. Yeah. They took it out of any re-release of the VHS.
Once it got discovered, they took it out.
It was really funny.
Why can't they take the blue schlong out of Watchmen then?
They did.
That's part of the plot.
They did. In the... all the releases after the original theatrical release, they have redone a lot of the scenes, and in many cases they've cropped his body, they've put a black g-string on him, they've done kind of like the Austin Power things where there's like something just strategically placed there. You do still see
God, that opening scene of that movie was so funny, the second Austin Powers film where he's wrong into the
bacon. Yeah, but the point being though that you still get a schlong, but
it wouldn't have been so bad.
It's not like
it's just there, but it was wavy.
Yes, I guess, and it's a fixture of the movie.
I didn't even notice it.
Did you see
it
in theaters?
I did see it in theaters.
How could you miss
it? It's like 20 feet tall.
You don't understand the amount of dick I get, so I don't know. I'm just
totally. That's a world first. Dan has fallen out of the chair, Star Trek style.
Sorry.
Wow.
Whoa, edit that one.
Year. no, no editing that one.
Oh no,
that's going to become my new signature.
We have left the ranch officially. Role playing games are dead.
Oh no, that
welcome to the 21st century. Where welcome to Free the Boot, a show about penises and nothing more.
No, no, that is my new signature on the forums. Julia, quote: "You have no idea how much dick I get."
I mean, we're talking Little Mermaid in my house.
The priest and the tower all at once. Yeah. I just didn't notice it. I don't know why.
The priest and the tower.
This episode has more penis than an episode of Game of Thrones.
Than the average gaming group.
What?
Wow.
Sorry. I broke you.
So, unless you guys have anything else even vaguely gaming related, I think this just became a bonus episode.
I don't know if I would call it a bonus. I think this is a penalty episode. Penalty episode one. In which you are punished for your fandom.
So, thank you for tuning in, and I can't blame you if you're not with us next week, but still, have a great game and great holidays, and may 2014 be a good year for you.
Bye.
Bye.